Justice Wisconsin, the truth. The most requested advocate in the state. 101.7 FM. The movement continues. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Milwaukee, stand up. Yeah. It's Tory Lowe, the truth. From one to four. We about that action, so tap in and let's go.
Let's go.
We want that justice. We want all the smoke. Yeah. From Monday through Friday, trying to bring the city hope. Yeah. Tory Lowe from Tory one to four. Monday through Friday, let's go. We about that action from the block, and we ready. Let's go. Tap in. And it ain't no holding back.
We ready. We ready.
101.7 The Truth. Tory Lowe Show, live from American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue. The movement continues. The marathon continues right here on 101.7 The Truth. Thank you for joining me for the third hour of the Tory Lowe Show. Benjamin filling in that DJ Brother Z had to get out on assignment. And the question of the day, Truth Nation. The question of the day, and I need y'all to open up your arse, okay? What kind of home were you raised in, and rank your childhood experience from 1 to 10, and why? Were you raised in a single parent, a two parent? Did grandma or other family members raise you, or was you from the foster care system? And rank your childhood on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 meaning not too good, 10 meaning the best. We got Al on the lines. Al, you're on the new 101.7 The Truth. Tap in.
Well, I'll say this. My mother and father was not together, but they raised me with love. I'll give it an 8.
Okay.
Because no childhood was perfect.
Right.
But one thing I can't say about my mother, she loved me unconditionally. And one thing my father put in me is love people for who they are. And you know, and if you want to do right by your heart. But one thing he instilled in me is that you don't cower down. And he said, you stand up to anybody. So I will say that. And from those things from my mother and father, I use that in my everyday life. And I am proud of my mother just as well as I am proud of my dad. Because like as my dad say, if somebody put their hands on you, I don't care if they're the devil, they can be Jesus Christ. But when it comes to you and my other son, they will deal with me personally. So it ain't taking no high road.
Right.
So I feel like, you know, they did the best they could. No parent, no childhood right. is going to be, you know, perfect. But they did their best. And for that, I love them unconditionally. And I thank them for all the good times. And even some of the bad times, because it made me who I am today.
All right. Hey.
And that's all I can
that's
say.
That's what's up. That's powerful.
Thank you.
All right. Look, I appreciate you for tapping in. 4038 says, I was adopted. My family that adopted me was a 6. They did the best that they could for being in the South. Also, we have some talk to text. 00025 says, good afternoon, Tory. I was raised in a single parent home by my mom's, and I would rate it a 5. And me and my siblings share clothes and shoes, but we made it through by the grace of God. Also, we got some chat. We got a long chat right here. I want to read it all the way through. Diggy in the chat on 101.7 The Truth on YouTube says, I rank mine 4 out of 10, raised by my mother and stepdad in Chicago, straight poverty. He was an alcoholic and he shot up dope. I witnessed a lot of abuse and my environment didn't make anything better. Only thing that kept me sane was the love of my grandmother. She lived in Evanston, Illinois. And if it wasn't for the fact that she installed a spirit in me of endurance and overcoming day by day, I'd be gone. Now I have 3 kids. I live in Milwaukee and I never laid a hand on my wife and I never had a day away from my children. And I think I turned out fine, but not all my siblings were able to I don't know. You know, he guessed his siblings probably didn't turn out as good as he did. But I'll say this. It's different lives that we had to come through. And hindsight is 20/20. And I don't think this is a slight on the people that raised you. I think I'm talking about the overall experience of the childhood. Like, you know, the situational ideas and the things like that. Because the one thing my grandmother taught me that I use to this day, my grandma used to say, you got to pray. And she always was a praying person. So she taught me how to pray. You know, the one thing I learned is that when I use prayer, it helps me center myself. And it helps me connect with the spiritual part of myself. So my grandmother taught me that, and I use it to this day. But as far as the environment, all the fights I had to fight, I had to, you know what? I had a lot of female cousins, and everybody wanted to date them and try to talk to them, and they was young. I think I had a whole, I lost count of how many fights I had to have on Fifth Street. People used to drive past me trying to, me getting into a fight with somebody, and the old people were like, get him, Troy. They used to call me Troy. It was like, I was, instead of them breaking it up, they was like, get him, you know. So I was one of those people that had to fight all the time. So and it had nothing to do with grandma. It just, you know, it just was the environment, you know, the way how we was coming up on Fifth and North Avenue. It was bad. It was a lot of fighting going on, but we were always close. We were always close. We had a lot of cousins. I didn't even need friends. I had so many cousins. And we always played, you know, right, you know, in front of the house. We always played in the fields, in the vacant lots, kickball, football, and things like that. But when you chime into the schooling, the things that we had to do and the way we were, you know, I remember I dropped out of middle school. A lot of people don't know that I dropped out of middle school because I didn't have clothes to go to school. That I didn't have any clothes. And every time I would go to school, they would tease me sometimes. And I understand the kids could be cruel, you know. But I was like, okay, you know, I got suspended so many times that I said, forget it. Because every time somebody would say something to me, I would smack them. And I'd be always in the principal's office. So it wasn't until I started going to church at 14, turning 15, and became a deacon in church that everything turned around. Because then I had more support. I had more people invested in who I was as a person. And then I had a spiritual base. And that spiritual base changed my life. From the time I got in church to everything I learned from the church, even though I don't agree with a lot of things that was going on in the church and all the things that took place within the church, just that base right there, that moral foundation, brought me a long way. So it changed my life. But my childhood up until that point, I felt sometimes, why am I even alive at certain points? It was just so much aggression going on out in the neighborhoods and things like that. So, hey, but 833-212-1017, talk to text, 833-212-1017. Brittany G says she would rank her childhood a 5 with my mom. And when we went to my grandma's house on the weekends, it was a 10. So when she was with her mom, it was a 5. And then when she go by grandma's on the weekend, it was a 10. 833-212-1017. Hey, how you doing, girl? Hey, do you want to come and answer the question of the day? We got DT in the building from the morning show, DT and Telly. Hey, how you doing, DT?
I'm good, Tori. You know I love you.
Hey, you already know the love. You can park it right there. Okay. I think that was on. But DT, I appreciate you for stopping through. You know, this is the first time you ever was able to stop through where I could get you to sit down on the show.
Well, you know, my daughter and I came. My kids love you.
Well, oh, yeah, right. Your daughter did come, but I'm talking about that was more like a family thing.
You know what? You're right. But my kids, and well, they're adults, but my son, you already know how he feels about you.
I already didn't talk to him, and he's a nice, handsome young man.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know he gets good looks from his mama.
Hey, well, hold on. I thought the girl get it from their mama.
My daughter's beautiful, too. She gets, actually, she looks like me and her father, so I'll be fair. What's up. What's going on, Tori?
Well, I got a question. Question of the day, and I think that this is important to understand that we are not a monolith. You know, we all didn't come from the same background, and we should learn to respect each other because we don't know what people have been through when they use some of their logic.
Totally agree.
So my thing is, what kind of home were you raised in, and rank your childhood experience from 1 to 10? Were you raised in a single parent? Were you raised in a two-parent?
Mm-hmm.
Were you raised by grandma or another family member? Or were some people was raised
Great
in foster
question.
Some people was raised in foster care? And could you rank your childhood from 1 to 10? And why?
So I grew up in a traditional household. Both parents, mom and dad. They're still married. They've been married for 56 years. Shout out to Elijah and Maureen.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Brother Ben. You don't know what you don't know when you're a child.
Right. You don't know.
You
but
know what I'm saying?
At the time, you
think everything
you're trying
is...
trying to find your way.
But now that I'm, you know, the age I am now, 47, growing up in Evansville, Indiana,
mm-hmm.
it was one of the most... And I'll say this, and I'll challenge anybody who's listening that's from Evansville, because I was born and raised there, racist ass. I don't know what.
What?
And, you know, it's obviously
progressed. You experienced
progressed.
A lot of racism.
But see, I didn't know that then.
Okay.
See, I didn't know the trauma that's associated
right.
with growing up.
Because we wouldn't know.
You don't know what you don't know. And I thought that black people, first of all, I thought all white people were rich. Because that's all I saw on television.
Yeah, you know what? I think I kind of had the same idea, too.
All white people are rich. If you wanted to get ahead in life, you had to have a white savior. So like shows like Different Strokes, Webster.
Mr. Drummond.
Webster, where you saw the black kids getting saved by the white hero.
Right.
And, you know.
Webster.
Ah. Different Strokes. There was another one, too. And then also, just as a black girl, I didn't think that. I didn't think I could be who I am today. Now, I will say this.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was very, very. She saw my gift before I did. In terms of being able to speak in public and do what I do now. So she had me in theater, performing arts, all this stuff. And I was the only one, Tori. I was always the only one. It was very uncomfortable.
Right.
Because
sometimes a lot of black children don't get to make it in certain rooms if they don't have the guidance to get in those rooms. It takes an adult to be able to see your talent and put you in the space.
You said it. And so... We didn't have Tory Lowe's.
Mm.
We didn't have advocates that were helping missing children or people that were contemplating suicide. Like, we didn't have that. And we didn't have black anything. We had no black radio. We didn't have black television until
right.
BET came out, which you then had to pay for because that was part of cable. It was a lot, Tory. And so I'm thankful for the time that I was in Milwaukee because I lived here for 21 years. I mean, I'm still here back
right.
and forth between Dallas and Milwaukee. But, you know, childhood, it's real, man. What you go through as a child, good or bad, it pretty much, it's the foundation of how you develop as an adult. But I appreciate my parents. I appreciate my mom for seeing the gift in me. And I'm going to keep it real with you. When I moved, and then I know I'll leave because I know
no,
you
go
got
right
the same.
Ahead.
When I moved to
you
Milwaukee.
You got a question, don't talk to Texas once you get finished.
Okay, sure. When I moved to Milwaukee, I'm going to hit you with this one. When I moved to Milwaukee from Evansville, I felt like Milwaukee was New York City.
What?
Man, no.
Big lights.
Big lights, big city. And here's the crazy part, Tori. When I moved here in June of 2003, it was dead in the middle of the summer. So you had Harley, the 100th
oh,
Harley.
Oh, all that stuff going on.
Summer
oh, the summertime
what?
Festivals.
I remember I called my
everything.
Friends. I was like, Milwaukee is everything.
Come over. You was trying to get everybody
man,
to come where you
were. We
at.
Was going out 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, going to work at 7. Now, that was back when I was in my 20s. But, yeah, Milwaukee, uh-huh. thank you.
Oh, that's what's up.
Thank you.
Also, you got to talk to Texas and ask DT if she's watching the Freakin' League documentary
you know
tomorrow,
what?
Please.
Who is that? Somebody trying to be funny.
Somebody.
Who is that?
Freaknik.
Who is
oh,
that?
Somebody said Freaknik documentary.
They being funny because, you know, I used to go to Freaknik. You know,
man,
a lot of people
used to go to Freaknik.
But yeah, there was no cameras. There was no social media. Tori,
hold on. Don't let me.
You put that in the box.
Hopefully it ain't no video somewhere.
Man, look, I already talked to my kids. I was like, your mama might be. No, I'm not going to be. Because I look a whole lot different.
Right.
Like, I wasn't marketable. Like, I was there,
what?
But I don't see the cameras. Like, ooh, her. No.
Oh,
I doubt.
Okay.
I seriously doubt. But there were a lot of prominent judges
right. And
executives.
Everybody went down there.
But they were like, why are y'all putting a documentary out about some things that we did 20, 30 years ago? It ain't nobody's business.
Hey, it was done in public.
But there was no camera. Well, there were obviously cameras, but you know. So whoever that was.
The Freaknik documentary. they actually, as you go on, watch the Freaknik documentary.
They being funny because Telly gives me a hard time on the morning show about, he'll be like, Denise, T-minus 8 days. Freaknik documentary dropping on March 21st.
Oh, wow. I'm watching it. I'm trying to see.
Tori, we're boycotting.
And some people told me that, hey, Tori, if you see me on the video, you know, don't judge me.
I've already had the conversation with my kids.
Oh, wow.
I was like, if you see your mama, which you probably won't, because I look a whole lot different
now. Was
they
twerking back then?
I plead the fifth. See what, Tori? I'm not answering. No, look. Have you heard that famous quote from Michael Jordan? He was like, I am so glad that they did not have cameras on phones and social media when I was, you know, like when I was in my prime in the NBA. Could you imagine? Like, there's too much. There's too much accessibility. There's no mystery anymore. Everybody knows what everybody is doing.
Look.
And look, then you got brothers, and I'm not knocking him because that was his truth. You got brothers like Cat Williams telling everybody.
Right.
See, we talk too much.
Keep some things don't need to be out there.
Tori, there are some things that, there's some conversations that you and I have had.
Right.
Nobody will ever know.
Right, because it was something supposed to be personal.
You know what I'm saying?
So I agree.
Everybody, we've come to a point in society where you just got to do it for the gram and go on vacation, put your phone up and just be present. Go to an event and just observe and be present.
So you don't believe in posting your relationships and nothing like that?
Not at all. Go to my social media. You won't see not one brother.
On vacation.
And you never will. Let me not say never, but.
Not right now.
No, because once you start.
Of course. Once you let the public in on your relationship, they feel like you gave your relationship to them.
You better say that for the folks in the back, Tori.
Yeah.
Because here's another thing, too. If something happens between you and that person,
They all involved.
Because you let them in. Exactly. And it didn't. Celebrities kill me. If you could please respect our privacy. Oh, now you want some respect?
Oh, now you want some. After all this time, y'all was out there on a vacation.
Posting all your business.
And every
me
time
and
y'all
boo
went out to eat.
Food.
Yeah, right.
Me and Bae out on the vacay. And then when y'all break up, can you please respect our privacy? Now.
That's
okay.
Why I say you don't open that door.
Tori.
Then you don't have to have that conversation.
And for me to say this, Tori, people talk too much. I talk, but when I say something, I want it to have value and meaning. Mm. Everything ain't meant to be said.
Well, you go speaking around the country.
The world. Brother, I'm out here global.
Right.
Like, so, you know what I'm saying? I'm very selective with what I put on social media. As a matter of fact, it's really a branding tool. And quite frankly, do you care?
It is marketing.
Do you care what I ate for lunch today? You don't care?
No, because I'm fasting.
Are you fasting?
Yeah.
For how long?
I don't even want to tell the day because I don't even want to think about it.
I respect that.
It's way out there, though.
I know you, Tori, and you're such a vital resource to this community. I cannot tell you how many times I've been in an Uber or I've just been out, and people don't even say the truth. They'll be like, oh, you on the same station with Tori Lowe? Yes, I'm honored. You are loved, brother. But that's just a reflection of all the work and service and commitment that you're putting. I know you don't like me to say this because you're very others oriented. But can y'all, Truth Nation, can y'all help me show Tori some love? And can y'all also help me tell Tori to get some rest? God created the world in 6 days. And what did he do on the seventh day?
He went to sleep.
Thank you.
All right, DT, I appreciate you for coming through.
Love you, brother.
Hey, love you too. Hey, look, I'm going to tell you right now, I appreciate, you know, DT, because we do have our conversations, but you know what?
I'm
going to do the self-care.
Please, because we need you.
Look, Truth Nation, when we come back, we'll have more conversations. Stay locked in right here on Tori Lowe.
The Tory Lowe Show returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. The Tory Lowe Show returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Truth Nation, get your tickets now to see NBA MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo join his brother Thanasis live on stage for a sit-down conversation talking about their journey from Greece to living out their NBA dreams. They will also discuss trending topics and life as an NBA superstar. Don't miss this. This is happening Friday at Pottawatomie Casino and Hotel starting at 6 p.m. Visit TALiveShow.com to get your tickets. Again, that's TALiveShow.com to get your tickets to watch the Analysis podcast live as Giannis will join his brother, Thanasis, for an interview. All ages are welcome, so bring the whole family. The Analysis Live is presented by Carbless. Can't wait to see you there Friday night. Again, that's TALiveShow.com to get your tickets today. Hey. Also, look, Truth Nation, don't forget to sign up for the Truth Community Cleanup, the third annual Tory Lowe Community Cleanup. You need to go to truthcommunitycleanup.com to sign up and volunteer to help keep Milwaukee clean. Everyone who joins gets free lunch provided by Cousin Subs. Register today at truthcommunitycleanup.com. That's truthcommunitycleanup.com to help us beautify our city together. The Truth Community Cleanup is sponsored by Cousin Subs. Hey, Ben Jammin'. The question of the day, a lot of people been chiming in, and I don't think a low ranking is a reflection of the parents. I just think the experience, the whole experience, childhood experience could be a 1 to 10. It could, you can have a lower ranking but still have love and I don't think that has the reflection on the parents. I think it's just sometimes you come up in a bad environment, you know, in the streets, in the hood, you know. Like mine. But Benjamin, what was your experience? I guess I'll ask you the question of the day. And let me get to the question because I have to make sure I word it correctly because sometimes I'll say it and then I want you to make sure I don't want the communication to be off.
Yeah.
The question is, what kind of home were you raised in? And rank your childhood experience from 1 to 10 and why.
Interesting.
Was it a single parent? Was it two parent? Was it grandma or some other family members that raised you? You were in that type of household? Or did you come out of foster care?
You know what, Tory? I'll put it like this. Personally, I feel like my childhood was great. Mm-hmm. It was great for numerous reasons. So, really, I come from a single-parent household. My mom raised me to be the man that I am today. But I can't just say it was my mom who helped raise me. It was also my sister. So, my sister, she's actually 12 years older than I am. And really, me growing up, my whole world from my childhood was my mom and my older sister. With that being said, as you know, my mom had my younger brother, also had my older brother. I was able to kind of like discover a wide range of things that was going on out in the real world, whether it was the KKK marching down
right.
In
Racine.
Yeah, that happened. And then just seeing, you know, it was exciting to me, man. A lot of these things was exciting. I'm not saying that I didn't face any adversity, but I looked at these things as like, wow, these are the real challenges of the real world. So one thing that people would actually talk about with Racine that's kind of legendary is that the KKK was trying to march through Racine at one time. And all the gangs that are Racine, Lag Kings, GDs, Vice Lords, they're all all actually got together and kicked the KKK out when they were actually when they decided to march. So that's just one story about Racine. But me personally, I think that if I was to rank it on a scale from 1 to 10, I'd just give it a 10. Be honest with you. Yeah, because I'm still alive today. I developed the fundamentals that I need to know to become a successful black man here in America through the advent of my mother, who was a single mother trying to raise a young man.
Right.
You know, I was able to develop different relationships with different black coalitions inside of Racine. And then ultimately, I was able to figure out how to
During your childhood.
Bro. One thing that one thing about me, dog, is so when
you always used to go around and talk to everybody.
That too. But no, one thing that my mom had actually did for me when I was a child, and I didn't even realize it. But in Racine, I don't know if they still even do this anymore. But at the time, say you got good grades in school, we would have a Black Honor Roll society. That's what it was. So, like, if you were...
And you got rewarded.
Yeah, so if you were a Black Honor Roll student, all the black kids who were on Honor Roll would all join at, I think it was like a festival hall downtown in Racine. And it's just be a whole bunch of different black young men,
and
black young women.
And stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you get nice little snacks and things like that. But ultimately, you're able to see yourself and identify yourself with so many other people who are doing great things. So when we eventually got older into our teenage years and you get to seeing people who, you know, are kind of like lost in life or whatever and not having a good head on their shoulders, I kind of relate that down to like them not ever having any positive representation.
Or so, being shown certain things, exposed.
You know, because exposure.
Certain ideas, right.
Yeah, exposure leads to expansion. So I think that helped develop who I am today, you know, and always being able to think outside of the box, not really being stagnant and being like, you know what, this is my block. I always looked at the world or honestly, the universe as my block. You know what I'm saying? Like, I own the universe just as well as you do, Tori. You know, so I'll give it a 10 out of 10. Shout out to my
mom. The universe is for everybody.
It's for everybody. It's literally free. You do what you will with it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, you ain't got to purchase it.
You don't have to purchase it at all.
You just got to tap in.
That's it. So I enjoyed my childhood. It developed me into who I am, helped me curate my imagination that I have, which honestly keeps me alive each and every day. That's when I'm able to talk to people and one of them telling the truth each and every day because I have such a big imagination. And my childhood helped me curate my imagination, you know? So I appreciate it in all honesty. All the fights that I was in and even times I got jumped, times that kids...
You got jumped, BJ?
Bro, I got jumped, fam. I got jumped probably like 3 times
what
in my life.
What was it about?
Nothing, fam. You know, when you just young, bro, like people fight for no reason. But ultimately, one thing that I will tell people about, like when those childhood fights do occur, one thing that I truly believe is once you have those childhood fights with whomever you fought with on
y'all
the block,
become friends.
You either become friends or you develop a respect for that person later down the road.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying? So like,
you was able to become friends with the people you got into it with.
Exactly, dog. Like I still talk to Honey. I still talk to Fat. You know, I still talk to Peanut and all them.
Do y'all ever bring it back up?
Honestly, nah.
Y'all just say, hey, God, you know, it moved on.
Yeah, it just moved on, and you kind of more so like, hey, what you doing in your life now? Like, it's kind of cool. I was actually just talking to Carrie about this, like, probably like 2 weeks ago. One thing that ended up happening to me in my lifetime, I don't want to go too far into the subject matter, but somebody who I was a rival with, you know, later on in my life, we were rivals when we were teenagers, but later on in my life when I started to develop my radio career and I'm over at V100, one day I actually end up seeing this man's kids. You know, I actually ended up taking pictures with his kids, you know, and he went on to go tell me how proud of me he was. Mm. He was like, man, you're a shining light for Racine. Like, I really appreciate the things that you're doing. So for all the kids.
I agree.
Thank you, Torello. That means a lot coming from you because you're really my big brother.
Right. I agree.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, so for all the kids out there who decide to pick up a gun because you're scared to fight, bro, just if you need to fight somebody, just
I don't get a punching bag.
Yeah, go get a punching bag.
I come beat up Ben Jim.
Come beat Ben Jim up. You know what I'm saying? For real. If you really got some animosity, come beat Ben Jim up. I'll take the punches for the little kids that don't have to, you know, fight somebody. But in all honesty, I feel like if you could have a healthy combat with someone, at least you're able to live another day. You know, able to live to see another day. Put the guns down and really figure out another way to go about resolving your problems with people out there.
Because it's not worth losing everything over a situation.
It's really not, fam. And in all honesty, again, you might be 12, 13, might be in high school right now trying to fight somebody or even thinking about picking up that gun and doing something to somebody. But think about literally 10 years where you going to be and where that person can be. And I'm telling you, it'll be such a beautiful moment in your life. You'll be like, man, I'm glad that I didn't do that.
Powerful.
You know, for real, because you could ultimately be out there sitting in jail for the rest of your life when you had everything going for yourself. Well, but don't do nothing dumb.
Well, I got some talk to text before we run the break. 906 Nine says, I rate mine a 10. I grew up in the house with my 8 brothers and 9 sisters. I thank God for my mom and my father having 18 kids. I think they did damn good, and we all still living to this day. 5566 says, I was raised in a 2-parent household, and I don't know what the township is, but it was in Virginia. Even though both of my parents were together and involved, both sets of my grandparents were also involved in raising me. My dad was very strict. I was a very strict Marine. I would rate my childhood as a 9. All right, when we come back, we'll be on the lines with Justice Wisconsin advocate and author Elizabeth Brown. Truth Nation! Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
The Tory Lowe Show returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. More of The Tory Lowe Show is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Yup, 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 yup. Yup, 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 yup. Fire bitties to the flow right now. Eat her up, show her how you get down. Off the drink, yeah, she finna go round. Get up, hit the ground.
Baseball season is finally here, and we want to celebrate the Milwaukee Brewers with you, Truth Nation. From now through the end of April, we will be giving away tickets to cheer on the Brewers live from American Family Field. For your chance to win a pair of tickets to the game, you must download the 1017 The Truth app and be on the lookout for weekly Brewers push notifications. Play ball with The Truth and go watch The Brew Crew by downloading the 1017 The Truth app today and wait for those push notifications. Hey, joining me on the lines is Justice Wisconsin advocate and author Elizabeth Brown. How you doing, Queen?
Salute, King. All is well.
Hey, look, I guess I got to ask you the question of the day. I got to get it in. And you know what? I love the fact that, you know, many times when we have these conversations and we talk about the differences that we have, many times the lack of respect comes in because people believe that everybody should have the same experiences that they have or know what they know. But really, it just depends on how they came up.
Correct.
So I'll ask you the question of the day.
True.
What kind of home were you raised in, and rank your childhood experience from 1 to 10 and why? Was it a single parent, a 2-parent? Did grandma or other family members raise you, or was it foster care? And then rank the experience from 1 to 10.
I was raised in a 2-family household. Had my mother, my father, me and my 3 sisters.
Mm-hmm.
The experience, child, I would give it a 9.5.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason it's a 9.5 because my child molestation. But again, the worst thing was the best thing because I am who I am due to that taking place. So that gave me a fire, a power growing up. It wasn't even about what we had because I even remember, you know, again, it is your experience because our worst times was also our best times. Like when our lights got cut off, my dad would make it like it was a camping, like we was going camping.
With the light, with the little candle.
And I guess, yeah, we would have a candle, we would pitch a tent, you know, and then he'd show us how to open up canned goods, you know, with a little pocket knife or whatever and cook it like on a hot stove and stuff like that. So, you know, I mean, again,
teachable moments.
I wouldn't change my childhood. Yeah, I wouldn't change my childhood for the world. Like, I mean, we had plenty. Well, you know, little kids always, we always make friends. But, you know, both of my parents were.
That was back when you could let the kids go outside.
We got lost until 9 o'clock. You know, street lights come on.
You
got
to be in the house.
You know, we was drinking out the hose. You know, like you get lost from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Well, street lights come on and you had to be where somebody could see you and they had to know where you at or whatever. Or your mama got a, your mother or your father could come outside and yell. And you had to be in that distance. Because if they yelled and they had to come get you, it was something else. You know what I'm saying? But I would give it a 9.5 all the way across the board. Those experiences was immaculate. Even growing up in Milwaukee and knowing how segregated, you know, we were from everybody else. Me and my sister got involved because, again, I went to high school at South Division. And so they had a lot of diverse things going on, and we got involved in different groups that would take us camping. Like, they would drop us off in one area, and then we'd canoe for 5 to 6 days back to where we got dropped or our pickup point. And it was, you know, diverse. But overall, it was amazing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was really an experience. And the childhood experiences, again, do create some of your reality as an adult. And a lot of times I think, too, that, you know, your childhood experiences also can hinder you if you're not able to move past certain things. And I find it, especially dealing with the youth, that, you know, we've been programmed to take everything personal, you know, not understanding or taking into accountability that this is a life experience. You only got one chance in this life experience, and it's about the experience. And we get so caught up in taking things personal.
Right.
Anybody that ever crossed your path, whether it be good or bad, was there to teach you a lesson or you to teach them a lesson. The goal is to get the lesson so you don't have to repeat the same action, you know. So I just really think, you know, a lot of us, we take things personal, and that's how you start to hold grudges and you block your own blessings because you don't know how to be a blessing or respect the blessing that curse was. Even when it was a curse, it was still a blessing because, like I said, you know, the worst thing ever happened to me was my childhood molestation. And in the reality of that, now I write books for children. Now I have given my family, who were also some of my family members who were also molested, to speak out and start to heal themselves. And we're starting to change the dynamic in our family of what's done in this house stays in this house, knowing that communication is the key to eradicate child molestation, rape, and things like that. It's the conversations that we wasn't having, you know, being survivors of some of the most tragic things, especially Black folks in America, you know. And a lot of times we are silenced, and the silence is the sickness of all traumas. So when you start to have the ability to communicate, and like Benjamin was saying, you know, the fights that we have, a lot of times I think not, it's due to our lack of being able to communicate, properly communicate. We don't know how. And the way we were trained is to misled to believe that, you know, you show your manhood and your womanhood when you're trying to fight someone. And in the reverse psychology of that is, you supposed to show your control that nobody else has control over you. It's your confidence within yourself to know that you not who they called you, who you answer to. So if they called you, you know, the booger monster or whatever names kids call you, you know, only if you answer to it. If you know that's not what you are, you not bothered by that. You know, you understand that emotionally, the majority of the people that then tried to judge you, not judging you because of you, they're judging you because of their insecurities.
I agree.
Usually when the girls are in school, girls be like, oh, she thinks she's fine. No, you know I'm fine, and I appreciate that compliment.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Because,
like,
they had to think you was fine to say that.
In reality. Exactly. You know, you pointed that out. Thank you. You know what I'm saying? So when you know better, you do better. And I think we're in a time where, again, it's our turn to be the leaders of the new school or the teachers of the new school, and understanding that you can make your worst your best, and you can make your best your worst. But just know that you have the ability to change whatever was and make it what you want it to be right now without holding any grudges or, you know, feeling like, you know, because I'm dealing with a lot of youth, and they saying, you know, trying to get an understanding on why my mother or why my father, and I just continuously tell them, you not your mother or your father. You are who you want to become. You know, you can take certain things from certain situations, and if it don't apply to you, then, you know, if it don't apply, let it fly. You know, take away what can help you become the better version of yourself, well, you know, look, and well, a lot of us wasn't told that.
Well,
so.
Look, when we come back, I want to get your final thoughts on the show today, Elizabeth Brown. Truth Nation. Stay like they right here on Tory Lowe.
More of the Tory Lowe Show is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. The Tory Lowe Show returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Tight dress, money long, it's neon. It's neon. With the C-on. By the bad, that's the only thing I be on. Be on.
1017 The Truth, Tory Lowe Show. Elizabeth Brown, we about to get out of here. I want to get your final thoughts on the show today.
I mean, as always, Ken, you know, very powerful show every day, all day. Thank you for being who you are and having the platform and allowing us to have conversations that have never been had. Black Talk Radio, just in the black community. So salute to you from being the creator of black talk, black people in real time. Like, powerful.
Hey, look. And the twins came through.
I heard some of it. And I'm so proud of them. Salute to the twins.
Hey, look, I appreciate you for being on these front lines. As usual, well, we got a lot of work to do, Queen.
Hey, as always, King, let's get it.
All right, I'll talk to you soon. All right, Benjamin.
Arthur Tory Lowe from 104. Let's get it!
Hey, Truth Nation, I appreciate everybody for tuning in to the show today. Tune in tomorrow for another powerful conversation. Hey, look, y'all be safe. And remember, respect. Make sure that you understand that everybody is not monolithic. Everybody have different situations. And we just have to be mindful of that so we can come together and make great progress, okay? Hey, look, Dr. Ken Harris up next. Busy on they see, that's how that shit tell me, man. That's how my daddy raised me. That glittering may not be gold, don't let nobody play, man.